Welcome to Lead, Empower, Grow, a podcast featuring entrepreneurs who lead productive teams, empower their communities, and grow successful businesses of their own. This is the first episode of our 2023 season, and I can't think of a better way to begin than with today's guest, Executive Field Chairman Javier Rodriguez, one of the most successful leaders at First Financial Security. Javier and his team in Southern California do things a little differently than other agents, focusing on specialized markets like teachers, law enforcement, and fundraising for churches. He sat down with me to discuss this unique strategy, as well as his passion, indexing, becoming an example of his success, and well, there's so much, you just have to listen for yourself. Let's get right to it. Thank you, Javier, for joining me on the podcast. I've been eager to talk to you for a long time. You are an executive field chairman, so I'm sure you've told this story a lot, but I like to ask all my guests, what got you to FFS? What led you here? What introduced you to the opportunity, and how long ago was it?
Well, I came across FFS probably 17 years ago. Right away when I first heard about it, one of the things that intrigued me a lot was the concept, which at the time was brand new, and that is the whole indexing concept that I thought was literally going to revolutionize everything. So not knowing much about anything else, I went ahead and joined FFS because of the whole concept of indexing, especially when you combine it with the life insurance component, I thought was something that would be really good for the masses, brought me to FFS.
So you were doing any finance beforehand, or was it a completely different pivot?
Yeah, my background is I was a police officer. And so when I was a police officer, I started dabbling in mortgages. And that opportunity kind of faded back in 08 when the market crashed. And thankfully, I had already heard about FFS 2 years before, and I had already separated myself from that industry because I thought FFS was the wave of the future, and I'm glad that I did it. Okay. One of the things that, again, I thought would be really good for me was to just simply tell people about combining the indexing concept along with the income opportunity. And I think that's one of the things that brought me and has kept me here, the fact that there's not that many opportunities. I dabbled in life insurance a long, long time ago, but I never really did anything. And part of the reason was because based on the concepts of yesterday, they paid so little. Whereas here with the IUL, you can bring a lot of value to people and make very good money. And that's really what opened my eyes to something that could not just give me, you know, weekend money, but life-changing income as well.
Yeah, the products have really innovated so much over the years. The basic term of the past, I can imagine that it'd be kind of hard to work with, though, as far as selling things. And so you started by leading with the indexing as part of your business. Do you find it as pretty much maintained? Or I guess a better question would be like, when did you kind of feel like you were basically on top, or like how quickly was your rise to EFC?
Well, one of the things for me was the fact that I knew when I first started to build the team of one that it was all about scalability. And one thing that I like about FFS, including obviously the IUL, is that it makes scalability a lot easier. And so when I just simply started showing people that were already life insurance licensed how they could get paid more, I think at the end of the day, we all want the lifestyle. And the lifestyle that I'm referring to is less stress, more family time, vacation time, and so on. So, you know, sometimes we call it the dream. Sounds kind of cheesy, but that's exactly what I learned people wanted. And so when you show somebody that they can do it because you've done it, there's a higher tendency for them to believe you and actually join the opportunity itself.
Did you do a classic kind of warm market spread, or was there like any secret where it's like, wow, there's this whole untapped market and that's how I have made such a huge team?
I come from the actual warm market, more like family networking marketing background, but I had a couple of teammates on my team that were involved in specialized markets, including in particularly the school market. And I saw that and how well it was going for them. I went ahead and worked on and developed other specialized markets. So today we work with the police officers market, and then we also work with fundraising campaigns with churches. And so one of the things that makes us unique now is that we do run mostly specialized markets, and we don't really do a ton of friends and family like the rest of FFS does. And so that's what's nice. Whatever brings you here and keeps you here profitable, choose your weapon and go for it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the benefits of being an entrepreneur is all that flexibility. And, you know, you can kind of look at things and you can be like, well, the family market isn't working, but schools, like maybe it just hits you one day. Yeah, that's great. Especially since, I mean, there are these public institutions and they need protection. They need indexing. They need all the things that everybody needs.
Sure. And not only that, but we are at a time where they're being affected tremendously, whereas the police officers and teachers that are going into those industries today are not receiving the same benefits that their predecessors received. Their pensions are smaller. On top of that, most employees, whether it be teachers, police officers, or anybody, have been conditioned to save in these tax-deferred accounts that I always ask people. Think about this for a second. You are retired today as a teacher, police officer, or the public official, and you receive your pension, which is 100% taxable. Then you get your 401k or deferred comp, which is 100% taxable. And so you find yourself with the most taxable income you've ever had with the least number of write-offs, and they never thought about it. We just give them food for thought. That's really all we do.
It makes sense, yeah, because so much of our industry is about teaching and educating or just bringing new things to the table. Did you know that this can do this? Did you know about this product? Did you know about this feature?
You can offer people options. And so if somebody really does want to have a business pension or a business 401k type of plan, we can help them with that. We don't convert them per se. We just put the options on the table, and whether they choose strawberry, vanilla, or chocolate, they win. And that's how we grew our business.
Do you find, what is your day-to-day like as an EFC? What does it look like from the top, day-to-day, or even week-to-week?
I was just right now, before we got on this webinar, I'm literally working on a lot of leads that we work with the police department yesterday. And so my job is to make sure that our team is busy. And so for me, marketing, it starts and it ends with marketing. I don't care if you're doing friends and family, or if you're doing specialized markets, or if you're going to do this part-time, spare time, or all the time, then you have to understand that marketing is where it starts and where it ends. And so my focus is always on making sure my team is marketing themselves to make sure we're always busy. And so for me, it starts with leadership. I do training every week on marketing. And I believe that once you empower people, they will kind of take care of themselves for the most part. And so there will always be administrative things to address. But for the most part, 80% of my focus is on helping our team stay profitable. That's my main thing, marketing.
It's basically like steering the ship, it seems like. It's a lot of training. And like you said, people will run themselves. They just kind of need a little direction, a little guidance sometimes, you know.
And I think that's where structure is very important. You know, everybody on my team knows that we train every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's a training webinar. Anybody in the company at that, it's open to anybody. And then, of course, during the week, it's about marketing ourselves and writing business.
Yeah, thank God for your training sessions. Yeah, especially since I feel like in 2020, that really took a hit with virtual platforms. A lot of other things, you know, our industry kind of cooked with it. But I think training, you know, it was harder.
It was harder, and it was good because it also forced a lot of people to just bite the bullet and gravitate towards the technology of today. Longest challenge for me and my team was that they always said, well, I'm not techie. I'm like, well, become a techie. I don't embrace technology. Well, embrace it. And I think that the pandemic helped a lot of people. And if they wanted to stay profitable and make money during the pandemic, they had to understand how to operate from a virtual perspective, if you would, that and in person.
Yep, it was sink or swim. But a lot of us swam and swam well, which was good.
I would say that it's important for people to understand that they have prospects and potential clients all around them, whether it be the lowest hanging fruit of friends and family. And sometimes we run into the hardest challenges with our friends and with our family. And that's for a good reason. I think that there are many times where we reinvent ourselves too often, where we're just not believed anymore. And so what I tell everybody, well, here's the fun part. Our job is to make you an example of success, so that other people will listen to you, and yet others will follow you as well. And so for me, what changed my business from when I started and I was struggling to where I was actually able to thrive, what changed everything for me was when I bought my own product, my own IUL, when I bought my own financial products within FFS, it was amazing how all of a sudden it was no longer how do I sell to somebody or how do I pitch, but I started to switch my story and just simply telling them, let me show you my policy. And so back then, we got physical policies, not just the digital copies. And so I carried my policy with me everywhere. I carried my annual statement everywhere. And when somebody raised an objection or a challenge or a concern, I would say, look, let's open up my policy, because I felt the exact same way. But look at this. And I would show them the annual statements. I would show them my cash value. I would even show them my surrender charges, because I think it's important to be transparent with people. Because one of the things that is great about this industry, it's also what's bad. And that is that if you sell the wrong way, people will cancel on you eventually. And if you sell the right way, they'll keep your product. And so for me, the oldest clients that I get paid residuals on today are from 2006. They are still on the books and they pay year after year after year. But what I say is you want to be in the building business, not in the replacement business, because a lot of people are going out there to sell to replace the policies that were canceled on them. And that just tells you you're doing something wrong. They should keep them for life. And so therefore, the magic of FFS and compounding residual and income is, of course, that they keep the policies long term. You know, I've been here at FFS long enough where a lot of my clients are now having me go back and talk to their kids about how they should get an IUL as well. So you'll generate a whole new generation of clientele just by doing the right thing. And most importantly, in my opinion, staying in touch with clients. Number one reason clients cancel their policies is because you lose contact with them, and along comes another company with an inferior product, and they go with them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you said, having integrity, leading by example, selling by example. Like my life was changed. People can still carry the paper copies, maybe if they make them, but you could have a digital one on your phone, maybe, or a spreadsheet.
No, it's not what I do. I don't carry the paper one with me, but what I do, I carry this great little thing called a cell phone.
Yeah.
It has an app. And so I open up the carrier app, and now I just simply point at it. Here's how you're going to be able to stay on top of it. If you want to withdraw money, if you want to borrow, you go here, you go there. Because I have accounts for my grandkids now, I actually switch and show them when I'm talking to somebody with children. Here's my granddaughter. She's 5. I got this for her when she was born. And look at her. She's got $8,000 in her now that by the time she gets to college age, if it doesn't pay for college, at least it will help defer some of the cost. It'll be a lot better than having nothing at all. And so, again, there, we have the tools now, whether it be the app, whether it be printing out a statement or whatever the case might be. But there's no reason why anybody out there should struggle with it. And I think the most important thing I would tell anybody is to never underestimate the importance of you becoming an example of the success you're trying to sell others. You know, go out there and make some sales, help people improve their lives and get paid for it. If you're trying to sell the product, well, then get the product for yourself. It's very difficult to become passionate about something you don't own. And I always say they'll smell you out because you can't fake passion. And that's why, for me, I think passion is the secret recipe that levels the playing field for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you think of any great like case studies or stories of just the time you felt proud of how you've changed a client's life?
I think that, again, before we go out there and rescue the world, we should start rescuing ourselves and the people that are closest to us. And so I use the very same concepts I sell to put my kids through college, including my daughter, who's a registered nurse, now works in the ICU. And we paid for everything from the very concepts we sell. She didn't come out of college with one penny of student loan debt, which to me as a father meant a lot to be able to do that. And I was able to do that for all my kids. On top of that, all of our lives changed the first time we pay out a death benefit. That was not part of the plan. I had a teenager that we started a college fund for her when she was little. And unfortunately, she was in a car accident at 14, passed away. Mm-hmm. And the person that actually sold them the policy had left FFS, but the parents had kept the policy. And when we went to the funeral, the agent that initially got him kept thinking, please tell me they kept their policy. And lo and behold, they did keep that policy. Okay. And while it didn't bring the child back, it made life a lot easier for the parents, knowing that they were not going to have to scramble for expenses and other things that they were able to do in her honor. Mm-hmm. And to think that we had a part in that meant a lot to me, as well as a lot of people that have come down with cancer. We had one young teacher who her daughter came down with leukemia. And because of the IUL we had gotten her for college, we were able to advance her the money that she was not able to afford to stay home. She was a single mom. And so with the money that was advanced to her from the living benefits, she stayed home. She actually flew her daughter to another state for treatment. She was able to beat the leukemia. And now the daughter just has to be cancer-free another 10 years, and we get her another one. That definitely makes you understand that we're not just out here selling, but literally changing people's lives.
Right. Yeah. You're already going through the hardest part of your life. And on top of that, you don't want to have the financial stressors. Like, gosh, you're already going through so much. And that's how this can help.
I've seen it. My whole thing with people and my clients is to put them in a position where they don't have to rely on GoFundMes. They don't have to do car washes or any of that. And if none of that sad stuff happens, well, the good stuff comes up, like college and buying their first home or, whatever they want to do, retire on their terms. And I'm very happy to say that we have a say in helping them achieve that as well. And so that's why I'm so passionate, again, about FFS, the opportunity, the concepts, the products that we bring to the table, because it's amazing how so many of our agents have these products. Therefore, they have the peace of mind as well. And I think that's what makes us unique. Growing up, I was the youngest of 9, and my mom was a single mom. And growing up, I never saw any of these financial advisors walking down my street, empowering my community, if you would. And so I personally believe that if our communities are going to be getting any better, it's going to be up to us. And so I think that when you understand that we are doing something that if we don't do it, the chances of it being done is just very low. Therefore, I take to heart the fact that we are in many places, communities where if not for us, the information will never make its way to them. And people are smart. If you just give them the information, the education and the resources, they'll make the right choice. But it's very difficult to deploy a financial tool that you don't even know exists.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. It's about raising awareness. It's bringing awareness of the products. It's helping people understand them because we don't all have time. Not every single person in the world can like wrap their head around every single part of finance, but we have agents to kind of translate to get their heads around it. You know, that's why you guys can help just introduce people.
And sometimes it's literally translations. So it's nice to know that even if we give them a brochure that's printed in their language to facilitate the information can make all the difference whether or not they grasp the information. I just had one of my teammates called me yesterday that they have a person that's interested in knowing more, but he's only primarily a Spanish speaker. And so I got on the phone with him, and I'm going to meet with him probably tonight or tomorrow, get him going in an IUL, all of it because we had the resources that while this agent did not speak Spanish, she knew how to get a hold of somebody on her team that did. And that, again, gives us another opportunity to make another impact with this person as well.
Yep, I hear that a lot too. Even just someone I interviewed last Thursday was talking about a client they had. They were like, I'm so happy you speak Vietnamese. And it makes total sense. Like speaking the same language, nothing's lost in translation at all. You know, no miscommunication, just complete understanding. So you're out in California,
yes,
right? You find a lot of your team and clients are Spanish speaking mostly or half and half? Or
I would do about half and half because in a lot of the places that we deal with, the specialized markets I was describing to you, almost all are fluent in English. You also have those situations where sometimes parents at the schools, because we do workshops, college funding workshops at schools, at the parent center for parents. They're mostly in Spanish. We go in there and do financial literacy workshops at churches. And in the process, most of those appointments are in Spanish as well.
Do you have anything, what are you thinking this year, the rest of this year or next, goals long term, whether it's metrics or whether it's just like a we're going to steer this way.
I mean, right now, our big thing within my team is to help everybody scale their business to the point that they want to scale it. Some people are where they want to be and others are not. And so it's just a matter of, again, assessing where everybody stands and what we need to do to get everybody from where they are to where they really want to be. And so I think that the wind is to our back right now with all that's going on in the economy, a lot of uncertainty. You've got inflation. And again, when we have that type of an environment, we tend to thrive because we bring answers to the questions that most people have no clue how to answer on their own. And so that's very exciting. I'm very excited for the future, and I can't wait to see what it brings for not just my team, but all of FFS as well.
Gosh, well, yeah, thank you so much, Javier, for talking with me. We covered so much, but if you have anything else you'd like, any final words?
I really want everybody to understand within FFS that we are all in the right place at the right time with the right company. But even though FFS gives us this great opportunity, literally in a box, some assembly is required. And so everyone's going to have to do their part because it's not just enough to be here. It's what we do when we are here. And so I challenge everybody to go out there and make 2023 the most productive and profitable year of their entire FFS business history. This is going to be year number 18, something like that for me. And it has just flown by. And I challenge everybody to make sure that they have that long-term mindset as well. They're going to be here in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, or what have you. And I think that the more that they are, you know, casting their heart into this great opportunity, the more likely they're going to not just succeed, but thrive and stay there.
Perfect. Perfect note to end on. Thank you, Javier, for taking the time to speak with me. And just like to thank all you listeners. Hope you got a lot of insight out of this episode. There's more where that came from on the rest of the season of Lead, Empower, Grow. To hear more about financial services from entrepreneurs like Javier, you can listen through our past episodes on our feed or at firstfinancialsecurity.com. And of course, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to listen to new Lead, Empower, Grow episodes the moment they air. Until next time, thanks for listening.